أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So brothers and sisters, as you know, the month of Sha'ban arrives with a spiritual bang. There are three very important, momentous occasions that we commemorate right at the beginning. It's the birth of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. We also have the birth of Imam Sajjad, alayhi salam. And then finally, we have the birth of Imam Abul Fadl Abbas. So these three events are very important events. First of all, I say congratulations to you, brothers and sisters, who make up our wonderful Hadi family, whether you're here or whether you're abroad. I send my congratulations to the entire Ummah of Muhammad on this important occasion. Of course, and the free people of the world, the people of conscience, and then also our Maraja, our leader, Imam Khamenei, and then finally, last but not least, our Imam, Imam Mahdi, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad. Before I begin tonight's talk, then there are just some reminders, spiritual reminders about the month that we're in. So the month of Sha'ban is a month where we can spiritually gear up to have a wonderful Shahr Ramadan. Rajab already passed, but Sha'ban is still here. There are three things that we definitely want to do during this month to make the most of this month. Those three things, brothers and sisters, the first one is istighfar, and turning back to Allah, asking Allah for forgiveness. Istighfar in this month, we're told, is 1,000 times better than istighfar in other months. So, if you were to say istighfar 70 times in this month, in the bottom of your heart, you ask Allah for forgiveness, it would be 70,000 istighfar in other months. So istighfar is one of the things that we do during this month, one of the ways that we get closer to Allah, one of the ways that we remove those barriers that stop us from having that spectacular Shahr Ramadan or that month of Ramadan. The other one, brothers and sisters, is sadaqah. Sadaqah during this month, we're told even if it's half a date, so how much is half a date? What we're told in this month is that sadaqah, God himself will grow our sadaqah. If we do sadaqah in this month, what happens, hadith, tell us that Allah will cause our bodies to be forbidden on the fire. So what greater than that? Sadaqah, small sadaqah, we do it here. Allah forbids our bodies, make our body haram on the fire of Jahannam. The last one, brothers and sisters, is of course dua. We have special dua that came during this month. Wonderful dua, especially if you and I, brothers and sisters, are somebody who doesn't just read the dua for thawab, which is great, but actually someone who savors the dua, who looks at the meaning of the dua. What is it that I'm saying to God? One of those wonderful duas is what is called the munajat. That whispered prayer of Sha'ban. And Imam Khomeini says, may Allah raise him with the Anbiya, he says that I know of no other dua where every single imam would recite it. Every single imam recited this dua. It's that significant, it's that special. So especially if someone says, well, I'm not going to blaze through it. I'll just read a couple of lines and just see what it is that the imam said to Allah and really benefit from those du'as. So if we could concentrate on the quality as opposed to quantity and really try and benefit from those du'as, this is also a third thing that we could do that would get us a very special month of Sha'ban in preparation for the month of Ramadan. Now, Brothers and sisters, what we've been doing collectively is to be working on our Quranic aqidah, making sure that our beliefs are in line with the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we have been going over the book, Reclaiming the Narrative. Believers have been reading that book. Today's lecture is called The Wilaya to the Taghut. So later on, if brothers and sisters haven't read it, inshallah, they can look at it. And again, looking at the words of the leader, reading that, and then the ayat of the Quran, inshallah, our brother recited some of the ayat. I'm going to recite some of the ayat. We'll look at them together. And again, looking for our Quranic aqidah. What we're talking about is something which is actually very important in the Holy Quran. So the main discussion that the leader mentions over there, the main discussion was about wilayah. But one area that Allah spends a lot of time in His book is on the wilayah of the taghut. What is it? What happens if somebody embraces it? What is it like in the dunya? What will it be like in the hereafter? How terrible is it to have the wilayah of the taghut? God also gives us symbols that we can easily use to apply to the tawaghit of now so that we get to better know them. So for instance, Allah talks about Fir'aun in the Quran, Haman in the Quran, the deep state in the Quran. Allah talks about these things. We have this discussion during the month of Ramadan, month of Muharram. So it's one of those areas that Allah spends a lot of time on it. Right now, though, we're looking at one particular aspect, and that is being a slave, one of the abid of the taghut. How terrible is that? Brothers and sisters, it's so terrible, and I'm sure you brothers and sisters have read this in the ayat of the Quran, where the abid and the slaves and the foot soldiers, the shimmers and the khulis of the Yazid, they get the same punishment as the Yazid. And you would think, well, Yazid is bad. But when you look at the ayat of the Quran in multiple places, you see conversations. And the slaves of the taghut, who gave everything for that monster, get the same punishment as the taghut himself. I want to mention one of the verses. Again, this is just a build-up. Inshallah, we're going to cover the ayat together. We're going to read together. One of the verses about how terrible this is. Brothers and sisters, we're going to look at part of the verse. So, brothers and sisters, can you turn with me to see Surah number 5 and verse number 60? Surah number 5, verse number 60. Part of the verse will say the following, right? But the takeaway, inshallah, from this lesson will be that we have a deeper understanding of what we find in the du'as of the Ahlul Bayt, the ad'iyah of the Ahlul Bayt. For instance, one of them from Imam Sajjad, before we read the ayah together. What is the du'a of Imam Sajjad? And again, one time you and I are reading it for thawab, another time we're reading it to learn. What is it the Imam trying to teach us? One line of the du'a is the following. The Imam says this, and keep the in mind, well, how important is it to have the wilayah of, not have the wilayah of the taghut, to make sure I have the wilayah of God? Just keep that in mind as a question, but let's read the dua. What does the Imam say? The Imam says this, Ammirni, O Allah, grant me life. Ammirni, ma kana umuri bidlatan fi ta'atik. O Allah, as long as my life is being spent in your service, grant me a long life. I want life. The longer I have, when it's bidlatan, when it's spent in your service, wilaya of God, then the longer I have that, the better. The Imam says, Dua Makarim al-Akhlaq. But he says something else, and this is going to help us understand that ayat that I'm about to share with you. He says, فَإِذَا كَانَ عُمُرِي, if things flip, and my life, umuri, fa'idha kana umuri, marta'an li shaytan, if it ever becomes a pasture for shaytan. And remember, you and I, we've learned before, it's not just Iblis. Shaytan, there are shayateen who are human beings. Some of them could teach Iblis a thing or two. Iblis is taking notes from some of these shayateen. Right? So if my life, if things flip and my life becomes a pasture ground for shaitan, then Imam says this. He says, فَقْبِذْنِي إِلَيْكَ. Take me back to you. I don't want that kind of life. It's that terrible. So now, brothers and sisters, let's see if you can find that verse of Quran. So this group of people, the abid of the tawagheet, they're people Allah hates, Allah has cursed. This is just one of the verses of the Quran. Do you guys see this? So first of all, did anybody find 5 and 60? 560? Okay. Do you guys see this line? So it's part of the verse. You have to look over there in the Arabic. Do you see Ja'ala minhumul qirada? Anybody? Yes? Okay. Sisters, anybody see that line? It's a part of the verse. Did anybody, any sisters see it yet? No? Yes? Okay. So let's read this together. Right? So how terrible. So the question is, or this discussion is about the wilaya of the taghut. How terrible is it? What does it do to you? We're going to cover some of the ayat of the Quran. We're just covering one of them today. How bad is it to be one of the, God says this, and he made from them, وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمْ, he made from them, الْقِرَدَ, apes, وَالْخَنَازِيرِ, swine, pigs, وَعَبَدَ الطَّاغُوتِ, slaves, عَبِيد, of the taghut. He made apes. And you heard, remember those stories about who is so terrible, Allah turned them into apes. Right? And slaves of the taghut. So this is a terrible sin. Inshallah, we'll read some of the ayat later about this thing. But we're going to move slowly. We'll go step by step. First, we'll start off with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So brothers and sisters, if you remember our previous discussion, because we're kind of jumping back and forth in the book, meaning we were following the book bit by bit. We went over the discussion of wilaya for a good bit. Then we took a step back. We remembered that we hadn't completed all of the discussions on Tawheed itself. So then after that, we completed that. And then after that, we came back to wilaya. So we covered some of those issues in wilaya before. I'm going to remind us of the intellectual conclusions that we already arrived at. There were ayat of the Quran that we already covered about wilaya before we get to this. So first we'll remind ourselves of what is the wilaya of God. After that, let's get to our main topic. So we arrived at a conclusion that in order to be a mu'min or mu'mina, a believer in Allah, if I am a follower of the Quran, I must have the wilaya of Allah. I must have the wilaya of Allah. We also learned that I have to have the wilaya of the wali of Allah. It's not just, I have to have the wilaya of God himself, and also have to embrace the wilaya of the wali of Allah. And because it's ayat of the Quran, we don't pick and choose with the Quran. Every Muslim, every mu'min has to embrace all of the Quran. And we learned this already, that we have to embrace the wilayah of God and the wali of Allah. What we learned was that during the lifetime of the Anbiya, those prophets of God, Musa, Isa, Nuh, during the lifetime of the Anbiya, if we had the wilaya of God, we would be following and under the wilaya of that wali. So we would be at the time of Nabi Yahya, we'd be following Nabi Yahya. Nabi Isa, following Nabi Isa. Nabi Ibrahim, right? We also learned if the prophet was not present, we would follow the awliya. We also have ayat of the Quran. We follow the, if the prophet, our prophet passed, after that we have to follow the awliya, and we follow them, and if we have the wilaya of God, we have to have the wilaya of that wali of Allah. Okay. We also learn this. Wilaya of God and of the wali of Allah is of two types. either that wali has been appointed by God himself. Allah told the Prophet, you say that after Hassan bin Ali is Hussein bin Ali, either by name, or that wali of Allah is appointed by criteria of Ahlul Bayt. But it's still the wilayah of God. We don't want to have the, I always had lunch in a brown paper bag mentality. It's still wilayah of God, right? But either, we learned this already, either directly appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Ahlul Bayt said, whoever has these criteria, this person is the wali of Allah. Let's make it simple for ourselves. Either you have the wilayah of Hussein bin Ali, after the Prophet, or the wilayah of Muslim ibn Aqil, right? These are discussions that we already came to before, conclusions. Either way, it's the wilayah of, so we're going to make it easy. We're going to, from now on, our discussion about wilayah, which is the same, whether it's Muslim ibn Aqil, whether it is Hussein bin Ali, whether it's Ali ibn Abi Talib, whether it's wilayah right now, it's all the same, no difference. To make it easy, we're going to call it the wilayah of Hussein. It's his birthday, wilayah of Hussein. The other wrong type of wilayah, brothers and sisters, is the wilayah of Yazid. We'll say that to make it easy. There are many Yazids now. Bin Gavir, Netanyahu, Sleepy Joe, many, right? But we get the point. Wilayah of Yazid versus the wilayah of Hussein. Now, what is wilayah? Again, these are just reminders. Our discussion is about something else today. So, wilayah, brothers and sisters, it was something that was a little bit challenging, right? It wasn't just super easy. Everybody has wilayah. Everybody, there was a bit of a challenge to it, if you remember correctly, right? Otherwise, why was it that when Imam Hussein first did his khuruj and he left Medina, there were over 1,000 people with the Imam? By the time he gets to Karbala, that number is 72. So it must be challenging. It must not just be the super easy. And by the way, I'm not trying to make Islam hard, right? But sometimes when people, they make Islam very easy for us. You want to be one of the 313? Huh? You need to give out hot chocolates and roses to strangers. Is it that easy? Is it just that easy? I hope it is. Wilayah, brothers and sisters, some of the things we already covered till we get to this. Wilayah, brothers and sisters, is the person of wilayah. We already covered this. They have to be bound to the wali. They have to have that inseparable connection between themselves and the wali. In their thoughts, in their ideology, in their worldview. I have to see the world the same way that the beliefs. In my emotions, in my values, wilayah, this is what wilayah is. Practically, it means obedience of the wali. I have to follow the wali. This wilayah is supposed to increase day by day. Wilayah. The political stance, this is the hard part. The political stance of someone who has wilayah has to be the same as his wali. The mawqif of the person with wilayah has to be the same as the wali. And this is where it starts. More than, is my ibadah like the ibadah of the wali? Do I eat organic chicken like the wali ate organic chicken? Did I make tayammum like, more than that, first is the mawqif and the stance. That's the first thing in Islam. In Islam, and I'm going to share the hadith with you, first thing they look at is your stance with the wali. After that, ibadah, everything else. Hadith. Paradise, the Prophet talking to Imam Ali, he says, paradise longs for bihisht, paradise, jannah. It longs for tashtaqu ilayk. Paradise longs for you. Who else? Wala Ammar. Ammar. Wa Salman. وَأَبِي ذَارٍ وَالْمِقْدَادِ. Brothers and sisters, these individuals, what was the most and first important thing about them? The stance. Outside the door of Fatima. Political stance, the same as my wali. Okay? Otherwise, what happens is, these are now the words of Imam Hussein. Right? Again, the question. We don't want to have the wilayah of Yazid. We know that everybody didn't make it with Hussein. We know that it's the same now. The words of Imam Hussein. He says, "Inna nas abidu dunya." Truly, the masses, abidu dunya, they are slaves of this world. He says, "Wadin laqun ala al-sinatihim." The deen is a sweet thing on their tongues. يَحُطُونَهُ مَا دَرَّتْ مَعَيَشُهُمْ. As long as their livelihoods, as long as it's convenient, you got a lot of people who are mutadayyan, religious, right? But, Imam says, Imam Hussein says, he says, فَإِذَا مُحِسُوا بِالْبَلَىٰ. When they're afflicted, when they're tested, when your beliefs count, when it means something, إِذَا مُحِسُوا بِالْبَلَىٰ قَلَّ دَيَّانُونَ. Suddenly, the people who are truly religious become very few. Brothers and sisters, because we're talking about the wilayah of Imam Hussein, I want to mention a few of the people who didn't make it. Everybody didn't make it to Karbala. It was a test. What do you mean by the dunya? Some people didn't make it to Karbala. Yes, they were abid al-dunya. How? I'm going to give you some names later. Maybe brothers and sisters can Google these individuals to make sure we don't make the same test, because history repeats itself. Inshallah, none of these types are out there. What was it that would keep somebody away from Karbala? Why wouldn't they be one of the 72? Some of these individuals, it was spirituality and akhlaq and self-development and dhikr. That was their dunya. That kept them. I'm going to mention names. You guys look these guys up later. People who didn't make it to Karbala. And then you ask yourself a question. Is that kind of self-building that makes you not make it to Karbala, is that impressive? Should I be blown away? First name. And these are individuals. Let's make sure these aren't us. Rabi' bin Khuthaym. This man had so much taqwa. He was known as one of the 8 people who had zuhud at his time, not attached to the dunya. For 20 years after the shahada of Amirul Mu'mineen, this man would do so much worship, ibadah. He wouldn't even talk except for dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one, that's so incredible. Self-building, dhikr. You know when this man of taqwa flipped? The Battle of Siffin. He came over to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Battle of Siffin. He said, "I'm confused. He said, in the good old days, we used to be fighting the mushrikeen, and that was clear. But now we're fighting Muawiyah. These are Muslims. You're Muslim. Which side is haq? Which side is batil? I'm not so sure. Amir al-Mu'mineen, will you do me a favor?" He came in the company of many qura of Quran. These guys, qari of Quran, big guys, spiritual people. They came over to him. They came to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, "If you don't mind, because this is confusing for us, let us go to the borders of the Islamic Empire. So we're fighting mushrikeen." Imam Ali sent this guy. This guy, dhikr. He was in Kufa. Well, that's when he dies. I'll tell you. He dies a few years after Imam Hussein in Karbala. When he heard, because he didn't help Imam Hussein, when he heard about Karbala and how terrible it was and what happened to the Imam, Then he was so heartbroken. He said, you know, that was a real shame. They shouldn't have done that. The son of Fatima, for crying out loud. They shouldn't have done that. That was so bad. It didn't take long for him to regret even saying those words. He said, I should have said dhikr. I stopped. I meant. So this kind of self-building, ibadah, worship. So that was one. There's out and out fear. Khawf. Right? Why do people not make it to Karbala? Good people! Everybody didn't make it. Khawf. Fear. There's a man, I mean, you heard part of his story before. I'm going to repeat it again. These should be warnings for us. Somebody could be this close to glory and leave and abandon the path. His name is Harthama ibn Abi Muslim. Harthama ibn Abi Muslim. So Harthama, brothers and sisters, he tells his own story. Harthama, he says that I was with Amirul Mu'mineen in the Battle of Siffin. Amirul Mu'mineen, Battle of Siffin. He said we were leaving Siffin and we came to the land of Karbala. We stopped and we offered Salatul Fajr in the land of Karbala. So imagine how close are you? Siffin, grizzled veteran, with Amirul Mu'mineen, praying with him Fajr in Karbala. He said Imam Ali did something so strange over there. He says, Harthama, he says that Imam Ali picked up some of the dirt of Karbala and he smelled it. He's telling the story. And he started talking to the dirt. Part of what Imam Ali says to the dirt was this. He says, لَيُحْشَرَنَّ مِنْكِ قَوْمٌ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Oh dirt, from you a group will be raised. These people will enter paradise بِلَا حِسَابٍ, without any حِسَاب. So Harthama is, that's so incredible. Harthama was so touched by the whole event. He came to his wife and he told her all the details. What happened? Yeah, Amirul Mu'mineen, the dirt of Karbala. You know where he was on Karbala? He was part of the army that showed up before the battle began. He got there early. Battles are there. He rode right over to Amirul Mu'mineen. And he, not Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Hussein now. And he tells him his memory of his story. Yeah, you know, your dad, the land of Karbala, he did this. You know what Imam Hussein told him? Imam Hussein asked him one question about his stance. Imam Hussein said this. He says, Ma'ana anta? Are you with us? Am alayna? Are you with us or are you against us? Your mawqif, your stance. Harthama said, I'm not with you and I'm not against you. He said, to be honest, I'm afraid. I have a family. I have a family to feed. I got kids. I come over, I support you. Ubaydullah, he will rip me to shreds. Imam Hussein said, leave Karbala. I'm telling you, if somebody hears my call and they don't answer when I call for help, Allah will take this person and cast them in hell on their face. You know what Harthama did? That makes sense. He left and abandoned Imam Hussein. Some people were very knowledgeable. So some people's khawf, some people were very knowledgeable. A lot of ilm. One of these individuals is a man who Shia and Sunnis, they narrate from. Abdullah bin Abbas. Very knowledgeable. Family of the Prophet. Abdullah bin Abbas. This guy abandoned Imam Hussein. You know what he did? He gave lessons on tafsir in Medina. Wonderful lessons on tafsir. Excellent ahadith. So you abandon the Quran, which is natiq, the speaking Quran, and with your ilm, you go over and you're giving wonderful lessons, tafsir of Quran. Who else? There were some people who were very smart people, strategic people. These smart, moderate, strategic people, their names are there in history. Why did you abandon Imam Hussein? One of them is the father of two shaheeds in Karbala. Abdullah bin Ja'far, the husband of Zainab. His two boys shaheed in Karbala. You know what, he's so smart. He tried to get Imam Hussein to make peace. He came to Imam Hussein with a letter from the governor of Mecca. Imam Hussein, you look at what Imam Hussein's words are. How he tried to address his disease. Another smart guy was Abdullah bin Omar. And I've shared his words with you before. Where he came over to the Imam and he told the Imam. He was like, look, Yazid is a bad guy. Don't poke the bear. You gotta be smart. Just live. You'll outlast Yazid. When he told Imam Hussein those words, the Imam told him this. Uffin lihadha al-kalam. Shame on you for saying those words. So there were a lot of people, good people, who didn't make it. Now, before I get to the ayat of the Quran, I want to share something with you. Because you see, brothers and sisters, right now in this dunya, we're going through a test. The test of what's happening to the people in Palestine. It's a test. We're all going to be questioned about our stance. If we don't do anything to support Palestine, we'll answer to Allah for why we didn't do that. If we told other people, it's also your responsibility to defend. This is a test right now. So I'm going to take you to the words of one of the sons of Hussein right now, who's also a test for us. Two of the sons of Hussein who are a test for us. One of them is Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. If you've noticed, when he gives a speech, his speech is carefully prepared. He's got pages and pages of his speech. He thinks about what he's going to say, and I'm sure you've seen it, he goes through the speech, right? He's prepared it. Even those who aren't fans of him say he's brilliant. They call him a thinking machine. And they marvel at how he's able to handle situations, even though they're not in his camp. But they know that his words are measured, careful. He's thinking. And that's why he's so feared. So you've heard, and we've heard, and we've all heard, that he said that Imam Khamenei is the Hussein of our time. The Hussein of our time. You see, brothers and sisters, you're alive in the era of Imam Khomeini. You're going to be questioned about that. You're alive in the era of Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. You're alive in the era of Imam Khamenei. Allah gave you a different gift than he gave other people. It's not as muddy as it was in the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's clearer now. And by the way, this isn't about who we make taqlid to. We all make taqlid to whoever we make taqlid to. We have respect of all maraja. Who does Israel think is carrying the flag right now? This isn't a rocket science. Why did he use those words? Why did he say the Hussein of our... He could have said the Muslim Ibn Aqil of our time. He didn't say that, though. The Hussein of our time is Imam Khamenei. We're talking about the wilaya. You know what Imam Khamenei said about this battle in Gaza? He said, this isn't Gaza versus Israel. It's Haq versus Batil. Istikbar versus Iman. Sayyid Hassan said, he said, if you are a human being, you have to speak up. If you have a deen, you have to speak up. He personally mentioned, and you listen to his last speech as well, how important Australia, London, Canada, America are for this whole cause. By name. Before that, you've heard him mentioning the protests in America, in London, in Europe. So now, is it the case that he's just talking, you know, Allah bless him. It's just enough to have tears and to think in your heart and like the resistance? Every kind of tear isn't accepted. Karbala now. All tears, all emotions aren't accepted. I'm going to give you another story about Karbala. One of those sad stories. This guy's name is Hadlam bin Satir. Hadlam bin Satir. Hadlam bin Satir says, I was in Kufa when they brought the wives, the children, the women of the Ahlul Bayt into Kufa. I was there. We were all there to watch that horrible, graphic scene when those women were riding on camels that didn't have any carriers, no saddles, no, right? They're riding over there. He would never forget Imam Sajjad. He says Imam Sajjad has his hands chained to his neck. He says, when the women of Kufa saw this, the women of Kufa started crying, wailing. It was so terrible. It was so tragic. And then he said, Imam Sajjad spoke, and his voice was weak. Right? Remember how gaunt the Imam is? The sickness, the trauma, chains. You've just seen Sayyidul Shuhada slaughtered, chains on your neck. But still, the Imam giving out guidance. He said, the women of Kufa are crying for us? He said, who killed us? It wasn't the vaunted army of Sham. It was the people of Kufa. The army of Sham never came. All tears aren't it. Omar bin Saad cried. You guys remember this from the Messiah. They said that when Sayyidah Zainab started wailing after she saw the body of her brother, everybody, friend and enemy, all started crying. Are those tears enough? Or is it the motif? Is it a stance? Now, I want to mention one more thing, and then after that we'll go over our ayat. Because sometimes what people say is that symbolism isn't important. So one mistake. Stance is important. Doing what you can is important. Following instructions is important. You've been given direction. In addition to that, in addition to our stances, is symbolism important? You know, because sometimes people are like, you know, why do we have to remember the revolution? I mean, it's not like like Karbala, that happened a long time ago. It's only been 45 years. Why is it necessary? Why do we need pictures of our leadership? Why is that necessary? It's just symbolism. Let's just think about the meanings. I remember a story. It's not true. 100% it's not true. They said this shit. Inshallah, it's not true. They said this one guy, he was in Iran. And normally in Iran during Muharram, everybody wears black. Muharram. So one guy was walking around, he wasn't wearing black. So the sheikh asked him, he said that, you know, it's Muharram. Why don't you wear black? You know, it's nice, everybody. He said, sheikh, your heart should be black. No need for right? Is symbolism important? I'm going to give you one story from one of our greatest ulama, Sheikh Al-Ansari, one of our maraja from way back in the day. Once somebody asked him about symbolism. So he was standing there, was Ashura, was Muharram, the people were coming in, those different groups were coming in, and a man was standing with him, and he told Sheikh Al-Ansari, he was like, look, we are not followers of the Ahlul Bayt, but we also feel Yazid was a terrible person, and Imam Hussein was mazloom, but why do you have to go all out? You're remembering, dhikr, faces, everything, have to go over symbolism. So the Ayatollah told him, he said, you know, what happened was Ghadir happened. And we didn't do symbolism. We didn't make a big deal out of it. Later, after all of that celebration, then it became that Ali is the friend of the Prophet. Whoever is Ali's friend. He said, so no, we're not going to let that happen. If we don't do all of this symbolism, then later, Karbala will also just be, there was one guy. Right? So symbolism is important. Remembering is important. What happened? Why? Back to the words of Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah in this last speech. If you've listened, he talked about how terribly they disgraced Hamas. And he gave specific examples. They cut off the heads of 40 babies. They were raping women. Right? Those are just some examples. And he said, your duty is to clarify. Explain what happened. Yes, it got debunked. That doesn't mean everybody understood. Everybody took their stories back. The clarification jihad. So, back to our original question. Our original question was this. How bad is it if I don't have the wilaya of the wali? If I'm not in the camp of Hussein? If I'm like one of the many? One of the many who abandoned the imam? How terrible is the wilaya of Yazid? Brothers and sisters, can you turn with me these are now Quranic verses. So brothers and sisters, if you can turn with me to Surah number 4. Surah number 4 and verse number 115. Surah number 4, verse number 115. Let's read these ayat together. Let's see if anybody can find this. Let's read, if you have what I have. First of all, did anybody find 4:115? Any sisters? Okay. Do you guys see this? وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ Yes? Okay. Let's look at this together. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ So those who dispute with the messenger, defy the messenger, argue with the messenger. مَنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَى After the truth has become clear to them, guidance has become clear. I know what's haq, I know what's batil. Still, he says, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And these people follow a path, a sabil, other than سبيل المؤمنين, the path of the believers. What happens to these individuals? What happens if I don't have the wilaya of the wali? God says, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى God says, God will make that person who rejected the wilaya of God embrace the wilaya that they've already sought for. We will make him embrace the wilaya of the person he embraced the wilaya of. When that happens, this is now in the book. The Tawhut gets complete control of all of your talents. The wilaya of God allows you to manifest all of your true talents, to do so much good for God. If you don't, once you accept the wilaya of the Yazid, then he doesn't let go. He takes every ounce of what you have and uses it for his cause. You remember some of these hadith that we read before? Whoever, because you don't get to be neutral. We read this is hadith before. We have 1 minute left. But remember, those who won't walk in the way of the wali of Allah, Imam Sadiq, those who don't walk in the way of the wali of Allah, Allah will make them walk in the way of the enemy of Allah. Those who won't spend in the obedience of Allah, Allah will make them spend in the ma'asiyah of Allah. You don't get to stay neutral. You have to be in the camp. So, one part of it, was that the wali will drain every ounce. And the leader gives stories over there, inshallah. Brothers and sisters can read the book on their own. What happens if I don't embrace, if I have the wilayah of the Yazid? What else? So that's in the dunya. The person's life is ruined by this taghut. You think that Israel's going to feel sorry for those IDF soldiers who were coming back with the maimed, brains blown out? They went over and did so much dirt over there to the Palestinians. You've seen them in the hospital. They told them to come out of the hospital, to evacuate. They come out, they take snipers, they shoot them. Yeah, that damages a person. These evil animals, do you think that they would have mercy on their own? The taghut uses them and throws them away. Just like Saddam Hussein. How much service did he do for the West? Remember in the time of Bush, when they dragged him out? Like, you remember Hillary Clinton laughing when they got Muammar Gaddafi? That's how, you work for the, they use you, then they, Imam Khomeini says, they throw you away like an astinger rock. So that happens in the dunya. What else? وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ. God says, we make them enter Jahannam. وَسَاتْ مَصِيرًا. It's a terrible place to be. What else? What is it that this person is doing by not embracing the wilayah of the wali of Allah? Ayat of Quran. The next verse, 9:116. Let's read this together. Inna Allah la yaghfiru. God will never forgive. La yaghfiru. An yushraka bih. That someone associate partners with him. We covered ayat of the Quran. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, read this on their own. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. God forgives other than this, then God forgives. So anyhow, we're going to stop here. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, we'll break bread together. Hopefully we learn that lesson and we can make sure that we're in the camp of our wali. We don't make that mistake. We don't falter because of nonsense. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.